Today is we are continuing a series of sermons on our Bible correspondence course. We're in lesson number 7, and we are in the 7th part of that lesson, which we are offering because there are a number of people who cannot read or have difficulty reading, and so we've set this up so they might be able to watch it and understand the word of Yahweh. We are currently on question number 9 in that Bible correspondence course in lesson 7, which asks, is it all right to go to the store and buy groceries on the Sabbath day? Now, the verse given to answer this question is Nehemiah 10:31, but let's begin at verse 28 for some context. Nehemiah 10, verse 28 to 30 reads, now the rest of the people, and if you would read earlier, you'd realize that there was an agreement that was made and a list of names given of those who had made this agreement. And so these now are the rest of the people, being the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the Netanim, and all those who had separated themselves from the peoples of the lands to the law of Elohim, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone who had knowledge and understanding. These joined with their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and an oath to walk in Elohim's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of Elohim, and to observe and do all the commandments of Yahweh, our sovereign, and his ordinances and his statutes. We would not give our daughters as wives to the peoples of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And the verse in question here, that answers the question, I should say, Nehemiah 10, verse 31. If the peoples of the land, again, this is the third time that we've seen that phrase, peoples of the land, brought wares or any grain to sell on the Sabbath day, we would not buy it from them on the Sabbath or on a holy day, which would refer, of course, to high Sabbaths or holy convocations. And we would forego the 7th year's produce, which refers to the land Sabbath, in which Yahweh commanded Israel to let the land lie fallow so that it might have its rest as well. One of the things the Israelites failed to do, which ended up in their captivity in Babylon, allowing the land a rest of 70 years. And the exacting, and that word there in Hebrew is ma'ashah, which means charging interest of every debt. If you recall back in verse 28, we mentioned the Netanim. Anybody remember who these people are? Okay, well, you would have to have read the book of Judges. These were the Gibeonites of Joshua's day, who, when they heard of the Israelites' victories over their neighbors, deceived Joshua's men into believing that they were from a nation far away and had come to serve them, having heard of their mighty Elohim, Yahweh. These are their words. Thus, they tricked Joshua into making a covenant of peace with them. However, Joshua learned of their deceit 3 days later, and because of the covenant they had made with them, could not destroy them along with the other nations of Canaan. So they made them as servants, or slaves, even until this time, as we're reading in Nehemiah, of the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile. So they still remain as a people, as a part of Israel. Now, notice remember the phrase, the peoples of the land who had joined the tribes of Judah and Benjamin in their return from exile to Jerusalem. Beyond observing and doing all of Yahweh's commandments, special attention is given to the importance of keeping the weekly Sabbaths, the yearly Sabbaths and the seven-year sabbatical holy convocations of Yahweh. These occupied primary importance to Nehemiah. In Amos 8, verses 1 through 3, we read, "Thus the sovereign Yahweh showed me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? So I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then Yahweh said to me," this is Amos speaking, "the end has come upon my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. And the songs of the temple shall be wailing in that day, says the sovereign Yahweh. Many dead bodies everywhere. They shall be thrown out in silence." Verses 4 through 6 of Amos 8. "Hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and even sell the bad wheat." Many have taken these verses out of context to make a proof text for the false notion that the day of the new moon is a holy day. I had someone call me up about that the other day to ask, are we to set that, can I work on a new moon? And of course I said no. I mean, yes, what you've been taught is not true. That the day of the new moon is not a holy convocation. It's not a day that's set aside upon which we cannot work. They've falsified this text to make the new moon a holy day, or even worse, they've made it so that it signifies the beginning of a new weekly Sabbath. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nowhere in Scripture is there evidence or authority for a new moon Sabbath or a perversion of the weekly Sabbath of Yahweh, including, by the way, Sunday worship. New moon celebrations mentioned in Scripture were a tradition of men. Kings could issue proclamations which the people had to obey, and whether or not these were born of good intentions or not, it's irrelevant to Yahweh's plan of salvation. Now going back to Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, "Behold, the days are coming, says the sovereign Yahweh, that I will send a famine on the land." Not a famine of bread, not a famine of food, nor a thirst for water, but the hearing the words of Yahweh. He has done this pretty well. He sent a famine throughout this earth of hearing the words of Yahweh. And if you've attempted to help people understand who have been brought up in a different theology than the Scripture, you know that because that theology has been so set, that when we try to tell them the truth, they cannot hear it. And that's the famine that Yahweh has caused. Unfortunately, though, he has chosen people who can hear. And this is why Yahshua speaks to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Because Yahweh is moving through this land, and he is calling people out of symbolic Babylon and Egypt. The phrase "hearing the words of Yahweh" does not simply mean hearing and or even just understanding, but it means doing the will of Yahweh, following his instructions. How few of those today who have been given ears to hear and eyes to see. How few there are in this land. Especially when you think of 2 billion people who have been led astray. Not to mention the 4 billion people who have not heard. It's a very small number, and we are blessed to be here with this understanding. With the understanding that anyone can see in the written words of the Bible. It's amazing to me. People have been deceived by men who hate Yahweh, to practice ways contrary to his will, to worship on a false weekly Sabbath, to celebrate the Creator and his Son in the ways of ancient pagan nations, and to submit to worldly ways of maintaining a congregation's monetary support of their church. Psalm 90, verses 13 through 15. Return, O Yahweh. Wow. Is that a prayer or what? Return, O Yahweh. How long? And have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. The Sabbath day of Yahweh is a time to rest, to draw closer to Yahweh through Yahshua at his appointed time every week, the seventh day Sabbath, to do regular things on the Sabbath that can be done on the first 6 days of the week is to ignore the holiness of the Sabbath, to mow one's lawn or to go to a secular movie or are not appropriate things to do on a holy day. The question one must ask is, will the action in question be breaking the Sabbath? The Sabbath is sanctified and set apart. Therefore, thoughts and actions on the Sabbath should be an expression of this fact, not contrary to it, as many have done in the past and do to this very day. Ezekiel 22, verses 23 and to 25. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, being Israel, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. Indignation means wrath. Literally, it means foaming at the mouth. That's pretty mad. The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Verse 26, her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. Yahweh is not kidding. He's not mincing words when he looks at people who are honoring him, but using the pagan ancient ways to do that. He is profaned by that. And that's really difficult to accept for me. We have children, we have family, we have friends who cannot see this. And we ask ourselves, what is their fate? The ones that we love. And we don't have answers because we're not in a position to judge. And all we can do is hope and pray that Yahweh will have mercy and that he will reach out and touch their hearts and minds and put his spirit in them that they might see and hear. Consider the profanity among the churches today in which their leaders hold up the book containing these very words and without any evidence of understanding, compassion, or even remorse for their sins, for transgressing the law of Yahweh, declare that the law of Yahweh is dead, that the death of the Messiah of Israel has made Yahweh's commandments, statutes, and judgments worthless, effectively denying the authority and power of our Heavenly Father to bless those who obey his commands and curse those who reject his instructions. And consider the consequences for those individuals, and also consider the consequences for their congregations who, having listened to these lies, cannot recognize the truth when they hear it, though the word of Yahweh is abundantly clear in the Bibles they habitually carry around with them. And I was one of those. I sat dutifully in the pews listening to the pastor who knew all truth because he had been to college. He knew what the Bible was saying, but if I were to read it, I'd probably get it wrong. I recognize now that that was a silly rationalization. And rationalization it was. I was lazy. I didn't want to read the scripture. But I praise Yahweh who slapped me around a bit and said, okay, this is what you're going to do. You're going to honor my Sabbath. And he changed me, literally changed me, that I could see. And I have no idea. I can't understand why he would call me out, but he did. And I know that he's doing that all over this world. Nowhere in Scripture is there mention of any change in the appointed times of Yahweh, of which the Sabbaths of Yahweh are primary commandments. Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, and I have the word gospel there, that's a mistake on my part, I should have written evangel, because gospel means something completely than what we are, what it means. For indeed the evangel was preached to us as well as to them. Now, who's he talking about when he says that, and this is the writer of Hebrews, the evangel was preached to us as well as to them. Who is them? Well, Israel at Mount Sinai. The evangel was preached at Mount Sinai. This is something you will not hear in the churches. What is it? What is the evangel that was preached at Mount Sinai? Well, if you know the meaning of Passover, and if you know the meaning of unleavened bread and the sheaf wave offering and the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, if you know the meaning of trumpets and atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles and what we refer to as the last great day or the day of the white throne judgment, if you understand who that's about, you understand that the Messiah was preached at Mount Sinai. The evangel was given there. Because Messiah is our Passover. He shed his blood that we might live eternally. He took away our sins, symbolized by the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, the sheaf wave offering does not symbolize the resurrection. It symbolizes his ascent into heaven and his return. He fulfilled those as well as Pentecost, granting us the Spirit. He's fulfilled those, and he's returning. He's returning on a day of trumpets. On the day of atonement, he's going to gather Israel together and lead us into the feast, into the kingdom, symbolized by the Feast of Tabernacles. And there will be one day of judgment where all evil will be put away. He will be that judge. The evangel is throughout Scripture. It's from the beginning to the end. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the evangel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verses 4 through 7. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And Elohim rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, How important is it to obey the law of Yahweh? You're not going to enter his rest. Of course, we're speaking of the seventh day millennial rest when Yahshua returns and leads us into the kingdom. It is only by obedience, because it implies the faith that this is the right thing to do, to be obedient. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today. And that word today means today. Today, right here, right now. If you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not resist the will of Yahweh. Be obedient. Love him. If you love me, Yahshua says, obey my commandments. And he was the one who gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. Hebrews 4, verses 8 through 10. For if Joshua had given them rest, leading them into the land of milk and honey, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of Yahweh. And that word rest there is the word sabbaton in the Greek. Therefore, there remains, therefore, a Sabbath for the people of Yahweh. For he who has entered his rest, his Sabbath, has himself also ceased from his works, as Elohim did from his. Can you see the connection between the seventh day on a weekly basis and the seventh day, the thousand-year reign of Yahshua? Yahweh is not an Elohim of confusion. And I dare say that that rest is not on the first day of the week. Verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, not only speaking of the seventh day weekly, but also the seventh millennial day. Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Again, we see how important it is for us to be obedient to the law of Yahweh. Regarding the disobedience of Israel, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 6 through 10, and we will continue on that. Now these things became our examples. What? To disobey? Well, examples of what not to do. Israel did not obey, and they suffered the consequences for it. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And that word play there does not mean volleyball. It means to mock. They mocked Moses and they mocked Yahweh. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Messiah, as some of them also tempted. Now, wait a minute. The Messiah was there in the Exodus? Well, let's see here. Nor let us tempt Messiah, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Messiah. So the Israelites were led through the wilderness through the night and the day by Messiah himself. The one who gave the tablets, the Ten Commandments to Moses, and also who gave all of the law to Moses to write down. So we find ourselves at the end of this lesson 7. What have we learned? We learned that it is commanded that we work for 6 days of the week and rest on the seventh day, that no one is allowed to work to make a living on the weekly Sabbath, that Yahweh made the Sabbath for mankind, set it apart as holy and sanctified, and that he himself rested upon that day. We learned that it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath, including meeting with other believers, offering praises to Yahweh, talking about Yahweh's word and his will, and rescuing others from life-threatening events. That keeping the Sabbath is a symbol of our knowledge of Yahweh's salvation. Yahweh's salvation would be whom? Yahshua. That it is for the people of Elohim and a sign between Yahweh and his people who honor his Sabbath. We learn that Yahweh created the seventh day Sabbath after man was created. On the sixth day of the week, man was created. And that Sabbath begins at sundown on Friday, the sixth day of the week. On Yahweh's Sabbath, Yahshua's custom was to attend services at a local synagogue, or today's equivalent, an assembly of believers. We are not to shop at the mall, watch a movie at the theater, no matter the rating, or have non-believers serve you at a restaurant. Yahshua Messiah is the master of the Sabbath, and by resting and keeping the Sabbath holy, we express our belief that Yahshua is the creator, author, and finisher of our salvation. At the end of the age, the people of Elohim will keep the weekly Sabbath and the high Sabbaths, the Moedim, or feast days, of which there are 7 in 1 year. And the Jubilee year comes every 50 years, in which there are 7 land Sabbaths that pass during this time. And finally, Yahshua gave only one sign that he was indeed the long-awaited for Messiah, and that was the sign of Jonah, that as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, he would be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Yahshua died on Passover in the middle of the week, a Wednesday, and was resurrected at the end of the Sabbath, not on a Sunday, as taught in the world. Hallelujah.